Whether you're just wrapping up the night shift or on your way to start the day, we got what you need.
Welcome to the morning shift.
It's the most mid team in history.
A whole new way to start your day with nationally televised reporter Tiffany Blackman.
Any pizza for me can be a personal.
Can't wait.
Former Falcons and Alabama offensive lineman Mike Johnson.
I've had my butt chewed by Nick Saban a few times.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
And Atlanta sports radio guru Bo Morgan.
Do you know who I am? I'm Squid Bill.
You tell him I'm coming. And hell's coming with me, you hear?
It's a new experience.
And a new take on a sports morning show.
The morning shift is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Good morning. This is The Morning Shift. I am Bo Morgan, also known as Squid Billy. He is the former All-American National
Champion. I warned you, Nikki.
Atlanta Falcon, Mike Johnson.
I warned you.
And she is Nikki Noto Palmer in the house with us today.
Tightrope.
There you go. What'd you say?
Waiting
for him to come down from the tightrope.
I felt like I was walking into WWE or WrestleMania.
Does have a little bit of a flow of that.
Actually, a great point. Yeah. I've never called him out on that, but it's Good Morning Vietnam with Robin Williams, which I'm sure was his basis of trying to do that. But welcome in, Nikki.
Thanks for having me. You have obviously
been around the Georgia sports scene for a long time and know the ins and the outs of everything going on. And look. I'm just going to throw this out there because I don't get this very often.
Okay. Let's hear it.
You are the first parent of small children we've ever had host a show with me and Bo.
Hey!
I'm telling you, it's a tight-knit group.
We got a little different bit of crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It really is. And so when you say something about, you know, being here at 5 a.m., it's like, man, this is a whole different level. People don't understand it's a whole different level. So that's a good thing on my end. But let's jump right into it. You just got back from a vacation with your husband, but it was child-free.
That's
one of the most incredible things I've ever heard.
We still really love each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, did you figure that out there, or were you just like...
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you just got to Montana, and you were like, hey, you know what? You're not that bad.
Yeah,
you're not
that bad. We had a good time. Celebrated 10 years this year. Yeah, we kid-free, which that doesn't happen that often. And, you know, you're in the beautiful landscape of Montana. Rip stayed at our hotel from Yellowstone.
No kidding.
Yes, saw him
Oh, my gosh. Did he have the cool jacket on and everything?
He was denim on denim. He was Canadian tuxedoed
out. Wow, so he was.
Yes!
So he's a method actor then.
Yes.
Because he just got to go in character.
I love this story.
Yeah, so we went to PBR, which was like, you know, big deal in Big Sky.
I'm sure.
And he has a partnership with PBR. He shows up, does his thing. But yes, he knows his audience. He reads the room, denim on denim, dark lens shades, the beard, the whole thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Was that your favorite part of your trip? What else did y'all do
Michael
up there in Big Sky Country?
My favorite part was trying to figure out where Rip was.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, I don't blame you. I'd be. Look.
Honestly, that would have been what I was doing too. I was like, hey, where's Rip at?
And look,
buy a whiskey.
You'll respect this. We've had this conversation already before. There are certain dudes in this world where I'm like, I look at my wife and I'm like, hey, I get it. You know what I mean? I get it. We were that way watching the Beckham documentary, you know, that part where he kind of gets the buzz cut and he kind of goes from young to, you know, good looking. I'm looking at her going, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm not even going to argue with you. That's a good looking dude.
So funny story about that. a few years ago, I was in Men's Health magazine doing this like write up thing. Michael and I were together. I don't even know if we were married yet. And he framed, you know, my article, which was like super nice, but he framed the cover, and guess who was on the cover?
Who was it?
David Beckham.
Yes!
Oh, wow.
And I was like, this is pretty great. It's going to hang in my house. But I appreciate my article, but I can say, you know, I was with David Beckham.
Yeah, he was on the cover then. Yeah.
Let's make sure we know who people are talking about. Her husband, Michael Palmer, was one of my teammates with the Atlanta Falcons for, I think we were together four or five years. I don't remember the exact number. We were actually rookies together. So
Atlanta, 3 years, Pittsburgh for two.
So yeah, there you go. So we were rookies together and obviously shared a ton of stories from back in that time because we knew a lot of the same characters. The Carrie Myers of the world, the Joe Hollies, the Shan Schillingers, the Colin Peaks, who I'm sure maybe you ran across over in Alabama as well. So a lot of fun times, and we'll continue to get together. Now, I'm glad y'all had a good time in Montana, though.
It was a great time.
That's a beautiful thing whenever you get to rekindle the flame, if you will,
because
it's just not something. I'm assuming you've got three kids, grandparents pretty involved, or how does that work?
Yeah, we have some in town right now so that I could come in, hang with you guys. He's out of town, so, you know, it's a logistical
It's always a nightmare, man. I always said, Bo's always like, hey, let's go get dinner. I'm like, it's a lot of moving parts there, man. A lot of moving parts.
And, you know, Michael, he played at Parkview High School, so his sweet mom is still over in Gwinnett County. And she helps us out a ton.
That's
so
huge.
Shout out to
nothing more massive than that.
Yeah.
All right, Bo. So we got to get into some of the latest and greatest with the Atlanta Falcons. And you and I actually had a chance to meet up with a couple of players since we've been on air for the morning shift. And one of those guys was Arnold Ebikadi on Friday afternoon. We got a chance to talk to him. And he talked about what he did this offseason to kind of get himself ready for this career year.
I feel like during the offseason, my main goal was kind of pick it up where I left that. I feel like last year, the second part of the season, that's kind of where I kind of found myself, per se. And my main goal was just to get my body ready, and I understood what I had to do in order to take that next step this year.
I actually thought Ebikadi was very insightful. I don't know what you took out of the conversation, man, but he was a lot more open and honest than maybe some of the other guys we talked to about just, you know, what he's going through and what this year is going to mean to him.
For me, it was the first time I've ever felt he was like, he's kind of a fun personality, and he's kind of a joking guy. And last year he was going around and calling himself Dr. Ebikadi because of the pass rush. I mean, but this year he kind of forgot
about that.
Honestly, I was sitting there and I was like, you're different, and it took me a while. And I re-listened to the interview when I was editing it for our show Saturday, and I went, dude, he's locked in. Like, he just seems like he just seems like there's a serious attitude with him this year, more of how he's taking camp. Like, and I'm not saying it's oh, he's gonna do this and that, but he just felt a little bit more locked in than in training camp, because it was the second day of training camp, essentially.
It was. Nikki, I'm curious to get your perspective, too, because obviously on this station, in this show, we have covered the Kirk Cousins signing / Michael Penix drafting, back and forth. Listen, I know you're familiar, at least, with Kirk Cousins. What were your thoughts when the news kind of broke that Kirk Cousins was going to be headed down here and be the quarterback for the Falcons?
I thought it was a good fit. I still remember interviewing him when he was at Michigan State. And
now we're talking. What was he like back then? Same guy?
The exact same.
Really?
And that's what's so cool. He just was – I remember our crew, we walked away. Back in the day, I used to travel it was a show called Road Trip on ESPN.
I remember that.
Got to host that. It was an absolute blast. But one of the coolest parts is we got to travel all over the country and, you know, go to the hottest matchups. And it was a Michigan State-Michigan matchup. We're talking to Kirk Cousins, and literally, if you were to play back the video of him, this is probably 2013-ish, the exact same.
Yeah.
Just who he is, what he's about, how just, no BS. He was the exact same. So I loved it. I thought it was a really good fit. Obviously, like, he's got family here, and he's just, I don't know.
It works out.
He's like he always reminded me of just like a Ken Barbie doll in a way.
And Julie, his wife, just seems like she is just the salt of the earth. You know what I mean? Just your typical, just wants to do best by him, and just she's just living the dream, man. So I absolutely love that. That's fun. I remember that road trip show. Do you remember that, Bo? The ESPN road trip.
What was the
guy that was on the road trip? What was his name?
So Drubner was with me for a while. He went with us when Alabama went on the run.
That's right.
He was with us when we covered Alabama. Yeah.
Actually, I do remember that show. It took me a second, but
yeah. It was fun. It was a good time. But what was so cool is now, you're interviewing these guys back then, but now they've had like such incredible NFL careers. It's really cool to see how it pans out. Kirk Cousins being one of them, too.
Yeah. All right. So one of the other things Arnold Ebikadi talked about, which I really thought was extremely intriguing, kind of eye opening, was, look, there's no veteran presence quite like you had last year. Bud Dupree and Calais Campbell aren't here. How do you kind of deal with their absence right now?
I learned a lot from those guys. You talk about somebody like Talias. He's going on year 17 now. From him, I kind of learned what it takes to be great. And also, you want to maintain your body throughout the season because you want to be at your best late in the season, hopefully leading up to the playoff and ultimately getting to the Super Bowl. That's when you want to peak at. You don't want to peak at the beginning of the season and kind of have that fall off later on. So just seeing how those guys prepare, take care of their bodies, I learned a lot from that.
I mean, that's what you get from veterans a lot of times when they're in the locker room, and I'm sure he did, but hearing him kind of talk about still being in touch and texting back and forth with Bud Dupree and Calais Campbell, I think kind of makes a lot of Falcons fans probably pretty happy, I have to imagine.
Well, you think that because you think he's still, you know, they're still sharing advice and still kind of helping him with stuff. But the body part that he talks about and knowing how to keep your body, I don't want to say healthy because none of these guys are healthy at the end, but just at where you're at your best, that's exactly what Calais Campbell was late last year. Calais Campbell played his best football, I would say probably from week 13 on or maybe 12 on or somewhere around there. Now, he was also helped having that Wednesday off. Every Wednesday they gave Calais Campbell off, which is what you want to do for those guys.
Gotta love that, man. Gotta love that.
The fact of the matter is that's very important, especially for a guy coming off the edge late in the season, because if you're making a push for the playoffs, you might need a big sack or two, or maybe just a disruption play to throw timing off of something late.
Yeah, there's nothing better than just knowing that a veteran is being taken care of, you know, taking shots off the knee and other things like that, man. So I'm glad Calais Campbell's still in his ear. And hopefully, look, like you mentioned, man, those guys kind of rose together at the end of the year last year and kind of made their mark on the end of the season. Hopefully, at least Arnold Abakady can take up for that. All right, we come back. We'll get to the front page. We're going to talk about this Matty Olson kind of getting off the schneid over the weekend, but the Reynaldo Lopez news just, it looms large, man, and it hurts and it stings. And we'll keep you up to date on all the latest with the Atlanta Braves and everything else going on, Olympics, et cetera. When we get back, it's the Morning Shift. Mike, Bo, and Nikki hanging out with you on this Monday morning. Stick with us, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's more than just sports talk. This is the Morning Shift.
I'm in.
Me too.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
1, 2, 3. It's time to take a look at today's top headlines.
This is the front page on the Morning Shift.
Oh, those Braves. Golly, they're going to give us a heart attack before too long. Mike Squid and Nikki hanging out here Monday morning. It's the Morning Shift here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking all things front page, and you can't go too far without talking about the Atlanta Braves over the weekend. You fall in an 0-2 hole against the Mets, the surging New York Mets, and you're able to climb out of it. The bats waking up over the weekend. Spencer Schwellenbach Saturday gives you a great start, Bo, and then you get the Reynaldo Lopez yesterday. The bats wake up, thankfully, because Reynaldo Lopez has to leave the game after three innings with a little bit of forearm tightness. I don't like the forearm being involved in that, dude.
Anytime the forearm's tight, it's a bad deal. But the Schwellenbach thing on Saturday, he was phenomenal. His best start of his career. And there's no asterisk, there's no nothing. Seven innings against the lineup of the Mets have been pretty red hot, especially after we put seven spot on Morton the night before. 11 strikeouts, no walks. I think it was the fact that Grant Putty had like maybe four walks or something, or six walks or something in July. Right. He's the real deal. He's going nowhere. But yeah, the bats did wake up. Matt Olson yesterday hit the yiggity he hit yesterday.
Tater.
Would have been on top of the chop house at Truist. He seemingly is in a little bit of a hot streak. He does have, I think he's like 7 for his last 20 something with a couple home runs. He does have quite a few strikeouts in there. However, it doesn't matter. The fact that he homered for the first time in back-to-back games is pretty cool. Austin Riley also got
one. It still boggles the mind, man, that's the first time all year that he's homered in back-to-back games.
How many RBIs do you think Matt Olson has so far this year?
How many do I think he has so far?
Yeah.
It's got to be under 50.
Yeah, how many do you think Austin Riley has?
Let's put it mid-50s. I honestly don't know.
So 42 for Riley, 48 for Olson. I should remind you, this is the part where Ozuna has 82 by himself.
Yeah.
So that's how inept the Braves offense has been. But good sign, the Lopez stuff is very, very scary because now it it changes your how you look at the deadline.
It changes the dynamics of almost everything. And Nikki, I don't want to put you on the spot too much. I know you've been in Montana.
It's all Montana time, right? Be gentle.
But look, just hey, your overall assessment of the Braves so far this year. I mean, I know that you've kind of seen it from a 30,000-foot view, but they've been disappointing to say the least, but somehow kind of still in the mix for things. So
still in the mix, wild card, still in the mix. Yeah. I feel like we were just in here watching Philly's highlights. I'm like, they're just having a grand old time.
Yeah, they are.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's kind of depressing, honestly.
They're having a blast.
Like, this is exactly what they probably felt like last year at this point. They're probably like, God, these guys suck.
I feel like we're going to see who they really are this week.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know? Grant Holmes will be going tonight. He's become kind of a little bit of an urban legend around the Atlanta Braves parts with the whole, I don't know if you've seen this, you know, the whole the hair and the mustache and the Rod Beck look. So he'll be going tonight. We're still waiting on a probable for Tuesday night, but then you get Chris Sale again on Wednesday. So it's a big stretch of games coming up for the Braves.
They're just trying to stir the pot a little bit with drama. See, what can we do in these next few days just to get people really on the edge of their seats? Man,
I agree. Bo, do you think it's a bullpen game tonight, though, for Grant Holmes?
No, I originally thought that when I first saw his name, but then the more I looked, and he kind of go through his outings, he's been a guy that can give you three or four innings every time he's went out there. He was a starter in the minors, so it's not anything ridiculous. Like my point is,
you want to stretch him out.
He really has. Yeah, he hasn't. He's kind of stayed stretched out because of the way they've used him, and so I don't think it is anymore. Now, what worries me Tuesday is, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Elder did not make his start yesterday in Gwinnett or for Gwinnett, and so I would probably think. And I know everyone's like, but I think Elder might be the guy. However, it is also right around that time frame that you thought you might get Ian Anderson back or A.J. Smith-Shawver. I know there was no definitive date, but for Ian, it was always, you kind of always kept hearing around the trade deadline, and you never knew if it was before or after. It would be on the deadline.
Yeah, I was going to say.
If he was the guy, but I believe Elder will be your guy tomorrow night. And you just hope you get the good. You know, remember when Bo Wallace was the quarterback for Ole Miss?
Yeah, I do.
And hey, we got good Bo today or we got bad Bo today. Like, that's kind of with Bryce Elder. You get good Elder or bad Elder, and you don't know. And if the movement is working and he's locating this good Elder, and if it's not, it's bad.
All right, let's talk about some Olympics, obviously, with the craziness going on over there in Paris, France. And, Nikki, let's just start with this. If you were going to get a medal in an Olympic sport, which one is it going to be?
Oh, man.
Let me peg it for you. Gymnast. You look gymnast.
No.
No, not gymnast. Okay.
No.
Swimming.
I played volleyball.
There you go. Okay.
If I could be on the women's volleyball team as libero and just get hit at all the time, I would freaking love it.
What about beach? You know, little Kerry Walsh action. No?
So, okay, I'm not even kidding. When I got to interview Kerry Walsh, I thought that was the coolest day of my life.
Yeah.
I mean, she has played for, 30 years, maybe. That's an exaggeration, but
that's been a long time.
She is just an icon, right?
She is.
So the day that I got to interview her, I was like, this is literally the best day of my life. So
that's pretty awesome.
I would be volleyball. I would just want to get hit at.
I think I love that. Now, I won't put you on that with the U.S. Women's National Team with the soccer, but you watched a little bit of that yesterday. They're doing, pretty well when it comes to the Olympics so far.
Soccer's the one sport I didn't play, and I love it. My daughter plays it. In fact, Emily Sonnet, that's on the women's national team, she plays at the same club my daughter's at and went to my daughter's school. So we're invested, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's cool to have my 7-year-old. She's sitting next to me just like in awe.
That's what it's all about.
Of the women's national team. And what's cool is that I feel like she's getting a glimpse of like a really good team. It feels like they're back, right?
Yeah.
Like, they kind of had some hiccups with the World Cup, and, you know, I know there's CONCACAF and all that, but they haven't won gold since 2012.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And that was the Wambach, Rapinoe, Heather Mitz team, Capone.
Alex Morgan.
Sidney LaRue.
And a lot of those people are gone, and that's the thing is, last year it felt like there was a lot of reports about the locker room and how it felt,
was
it a good locker room or a bad locker room? And it kind of feels like they have been able to, whatever that was,
put it behind them.
Yep, put it behind them and kind of turn over a new leaf. And, was it Mallory Swanson?
Yeah, Mallory Swanson. I was going to say Trinity Rodman. It feels like she is just a superstar waiting to happen.
I mean, the trifecta of those two girls and adding in Sophia Smith.
Sure.
I mean, that's like a three-headed monster. But I also think it has to do with Emma Hayes, too, coming into her new role.
Yeah.
This is like her first major, and she ruffled some feathers with, you know, Morgan not being on the roster, stuff like that. But
well, they get the dominant 4-1 win over Germany yesterday. So, all right, we'll transition to the U.S. men's national team, the basketball. They get the big dub over Serbia. Yesterday, I believe, what time was that on, Dylan? I caught a little bit of the end of it. It's kind of hard with the Olympics being...
It was like 1 o'clock.
I was going to say, it's like you never know if you're watching live or not. And then they do kind of the wraparound sets and they do all that stuff. And it's like, am I watching the live version of this or is it a repeat? Sometimes it's in prime time, sometimes it's not.
Yeah, you probably weren't watching the live version. I think the official start time might have been 11:15 because I remember when I was doing the show yesterday with Joe Patrick, we talked about it and I was looking through the daily schedule. So I think it started at 11:15.
Yeah.
But LeBron and KD were on absolute heaters and Jason Tatum didn't play a lick.
Jason Tatum, coaching decision, didn't play a lick. It looked like they were having a lot of fun.
Real quick, I saw so many things on Twitter that were so bad. They were like, man, he passed out 300 Gatorades and gave out 15 towels. Like,
dang, they gave him the stat line?
They gave him the bench statistics, man.
Like, gave him the stat line.
They looked like they were having fun. Much like the Phillies, the USA men's basketball team yesterday, they looked like they were just playing on a blacktop. Having a blast.
And that's what you want them to play in the Olympics. Yeah. We were talking about that earlier. Like, that's exactly how I want the best players in the NBA to be able to play when they are when they're in the Olympics. And I think Dennis Rodman said it. And it's, I don't know why he was even talking, but Dennis Rodman's like, Steve Kerr ain't coaching anything. And I think he's right. I think Steve Kerr's just keeping players in and out. And apparently yesterday it was Jason Tatum. Durant was but to take that, I mean, 8 of 9, 23 points in only 17 minutes. Did not miss from the three-point line. When you have Kevin Durant coming off the bench and only playing 17 minutes and dropping 23, I'm not sure who in the world can compete with that. I mean, I really don't. It's just incredible.
Do you feel this way? I expect, like, our women's soccer team and our men's and women's basketball team just to win.
Yeah.
And gymnastics.
It stinks. You know? I hate that I feel that way.
Yeah, right.
I hate that,
like,
I feel that
way.
Because
we don't
get gold. And look, you and I both went to Alabama, so a lot of people have that same kind of feeling when they watch Alabama games. It's like you just kind of expect them to roll, and it's just not that simple.
I don't hate that that's my expectations because we've been the gold standard literally for how many years at those sports. Yeah. I kind of feel that way about swimming as well.
I was going to say, Michael Phelps was on yesterday, and if I'm Michael Phelps, I'm sitting up there and I'm going like, if these guys aren't getting gold, like, what are they doing? Like, he's just like looking down on them from the booth like, how'd you mess that one up? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's absolutely right because he was so good. And during that era, we had quite a few swimmers. What was the guy from... He went to Florida, but
is it Ryan Lochte?
They got arrested
what a guy
or whatever.
That was.
They got arrested.
He's an interesting cat, man.
Man, I'm gonna go like deep dive on Instagram and X and see what he's up to now.
Oh man,
they got arrested in one of the countries maybe Olympic or two ago,
yeah.
And they were doing stupid. It's like that. All said, they were phenomenal, and so they're kind of the standard. It's kind of like we were talking. The Nadal and Djokovic are gonna play.
Yeah.
And you go back, and they met in the 2008 semis in Beijing. And you're like, what?
Yeah. Right.
And 16 years later, these guys are playing the Olympics.
I don't math, but that's been a minute.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Real quick, I got a chance to watch gymnastics yesterday. Simone Biles, it was kind of unnerving for a minute. She was getting her calf worked on, getting it taped up. And I think she did her warm-up, and she goes, not good. Like, looked at the trainer, you can read her lips and said, not good. But then she goes out there and does what Simone Biles does, and she absolutely dominated, and all 4'8" of her was about 12 foot in the air. And
she's just incredible.
She really is. She's just compact muscle, just going up in the air. Actually, when we get to mic'd up in a little bit, my wife and I's discussion about the balance beam yesterday, I thought she was going to punch me in the eye. I thought I was going to walk in here with a black eye this morning. So,
I don't even know the story yet, but
had she given you a black eye, you could have called Morgan & Morgan, because this hour is brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm.
Yeah, when we get back, Nikki is going to let us go through her DMs from 2010. I kid! Don't hit me. We're coming back. We're going to talk to Nikki Noto-Bomber about everything under the sun. Stick with us. Sports Radio 929 The Game.
What are the haps? Start the day the right way with the morning shift.
With Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
All right.
On Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Morning Shift, Mike Bo and Nikki Noto Palmer. You still have the Noto in there. You didn't lose the Noto, right?
I still have it.
Is it part of the official name? Is it on the driver's license?
It is. And that's a whole story in itself. Nikki's nowhere in my name on my driver's license.
Yeah.
Nowhere.
We'll talk about that in just a second.
I want to know what we'll get to it probably in time out, but I want to know what Nikki is short for.
Wait till you hear this.
Nicolette.
Wait till you hear the story about Nikki making it official with her husband. We'll get to that in just a second. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Bo, real quick, no Falcons practice today, but we'll be live back out there tomorrow. Have we heard anything, Bo, about whether or not they'll be in full pads tomorrow?
No, they will. Shows? They will. That's part of...
It's not Wednesday?
It's Tuesday from what I heard, because that's why they have to take a... You know, they have to have days off, but that's the thing, is before they go to pads, I think they have to have a day off to start camp. Yeah. There's so many... Look, I used to get so frustrated when I would hear people not know things. Like, how do you not know why they're not in this and that?
Yeah.
Because it used to be a lot easier. But the CBA changes structured. Every year.
Right.
Or not every year, but every time the CBA changes, they build in something else that changes how training camp used to work. Or how practices, if you're ever at one of these practices, and obviously not this year, or maybe at the bench, and you hear them say, stay up, stay up, stay up. It's because they can't go to the ground. Because they go to the ground too many times, then they can get, someone can report, hey, they're having us go to the ground. And then what happens is they get investigated, they lose draft picks, they lose practice time.
Yeah.
So there's so many really weird rules with all of it. But yeah, I'm pretty sure Tuesday they are in pads.
Well, I was going to ask Nikki a question about the Atlanta Falcons, but let's go ahead and hit the timeout.
It's time for a timeout on the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Nikki, the question was, you spent obviously a lot of time with your time at the Falcons out at training camp practices.
I did.
And I don't know when's the last time you've been out there, and I'm sure that Michael, your husband, kind of has the same feeling I do. I go out there, and I'm like, man, this looks like you could have played 30 years if you were in football these days in the NFL. Backwards hats. A lot of jog-throughs, a lot of things going on like that. Just doesn't look like the same like it did, I don't know, 14 years ago.
No, but you know what? I remember when Michael and I, so my husband played Falcons with Mike back in the day, and there was this one time Michael borrowed my car, and he went to training camp. And, Mike, I kid you not, I was curious if there was a cadaver in, like, the back of my trunk, left the windows up. Everything in the car, and I was like, what happened? And I swear I had to leave my windows down for the next few days. That was rough. That was rough.
I hope you had leather seats.
I did, thank God.
Because
and some Clorox wipes. Like, it was awful.
Let me tell you something. I remember we were doing a show up there, and I was one of my first training camps, and Coy Wire was playing back then. That's how long ago it was.
Yeah. Love Coy, man.
Coy comes over right after practice, and... As the producer, you would give up your seat and your headset. And, I mean, he's still in
so
full pads. Yeah. Well, I didn't sit in that seat for the rest of the show.
Couldn't.
He left a puddle in the seat.
Yeah.
But from the sweat, guys, nothing like that.
Yeah.
And then the headset, I was like, anybody got a...
Big pause.
Anybody got a... anything, a wipe that
you
I can wipe this headset?
Well, need like four towels.
Luckily, I think Miller Pope was doing that broadcast that day, and Miller Pope never went anywhere with like 30 Gatorade towels. Yeah. So yeah. I had one, but
Mike, Nikki, I was going to ask you real quick though.
Go ahead,
because I was asking Michael this last night. When you get a day off at training camp, I mean that is good as gold. Like what do you remember doing on that off day? Because it was so rare.
It's funny,
and you like this. You're so tired.
I was talking about this was. I think there was like two or three times that I'd been like seeing somebody over the summer, you know, and you spend that one day being like, is this worth taking into the season? You know what I mean? Like you'd visit that after a week at camp, you go back and visit that female, whoever that was, and you're like, all right, is it still any chemistry there? Am I going to really continue? Are you going to be my camp text? You know what I mean? Just that person that when you have a few minutes, you just shoot a text to.
Your camp text, like you only get one text. It's not prison. You only have time for one phone call.
You only have time for one when you're in training camp. You only have time for one. But obviously, needless to say, my wife and I didn't start dating until after football. So none of those did tend to work out. But I do want to start from the top of you. You're from Oak Mountain, right outside of Birmingham.
That's
Oak Mountain High School. Went to the University of Alabama. Roll Tide.
That's what's up.
At what point?
He's just rolling his eyes.
What point? Yeah.
Oh,
hey,
man.
Hey, soak it in, Bo. At what point did you know you would go into some kind of journalism career? Did you ever, was that like your goal in college, or was that something that just kind of happened?
I y'all are going to think I'm crazy. I was eight. I remember it plain as day. Always loved sports. I was in high school, Oak Mountain. We had a really great, so I graduated at 05 from Oak Mountain.
Same.
We had an awesome broadcasting program.
Really?
Like, we had a set. We had prompter. We had, you know, it was Final Cut back then, too. Like,
the OMN, the Oak Mountain Network.
Yeah, OMHS News, baby.
That's way more than Pauline County High School had in my day.
So, it was incredible. Like, I was set up for success in high school, and I still remember, like, I would go out to the Regions Golf Tournament.
Sure.
I'm interviewing, like, Tommy Tuberville, Bo Jackson, like, way back in the day.
Yeah.
So then by the time I got to Alabama, I actually went to College of Charleston my first 2 years, transferred in my junior year.
I don't think I realized that. That's cool.
And by the time I got to Alabama, I was so, I mean, I worked three jobs. One was with athletics, media relations, communication. I was a, you know, student worker in the communication building. So I really didn't have that big of a social life when I was at Alabama because I was just working because I knew what I wanted to do. So with working with, you know, athletics and media relations, I got put in some really cool opportunities. And then, sure enough, I went to go work for the Tennessee Titans, media relations intern. And when I was in Nashville, since I worked with my professor so closely and, you know, with all the broadcast stuff, she reached out to me and was like, hey, we've got an ESPN crew coming in to shoot the show with Alabama. Would you be interested? We need someone to, like, show them the lay of the land, understand, you know, the coaches, the players, like, where to go. Would you be interested? And I was like, yeah, like, that sounds great.
Of course I would.
So, sure enough, like, I'm in the Alabama locker room where I don't know who we were interviewing at the time, but it was, I mean.
I wish you knew.
I don't know if you were there. You would have been.
I graduated. Yeah, my last year was 2009 season.
Yeah, same.
Right.
Okay, so you would have been there. So, we're, you know, just shooting the talk and talking in the locker room about college football and whatever. Well, fast forward, the same guy that I was talking to ended up being a VP exec at ESPN and hired me the next year. Or like 2 years later, and that's how I got on road trip.
Oh,
so I was
really
a PA
cool.
for the show, and it all started in Tuscaloosa, even though I had already graduated, just because they knew, you know, hey, here's this girl. She knows kind of what's going on. And anyway,
she's extremely talented.
Yeah, take
extremely
every opportunity. Talented. See, that's funny because I realized you were doing that after I already knew you as the Atlanta Falcons. You know, because you were with the Falcons for, what, 3 years maybe?
What was your title with the Falcons?
Here's the thing. I came in, I was technically, I guess, like the first Falcons insider, first Falcons reporter. But let me just, like, preface this with a story. This was the first, do y'all remember when Jen Sturger was with the Jets?
Yeah, of course.
Brett Favre?
Of course.
So,
everybody remembers that.
Right. So she was kind of like the first team reporter. So then I come in to Flowery Branch, like, walking on eggshells because this had just happened, like the picture incident. And here I am coming in, like, to what I think is my dream job, had just turned something down with the Braves that I thought really was my dream job. And I'm like, oh my God, what is happening?
Yeah.
So going to the Falcons, and then when they had to redo the CBA,
of course,
I was out of a job.
The lockout.
Right? Like, the lockout happened.
Yeah.
So then that's when my said boss, who I met, you know, in the Alabama locker room shooting the show at the ESPN, was like, hey, I think I've got the perfect gig for you. Like, if you can hold out. And I was like, this sounds great. And that's how that happened.
Well, so the funny thing is that every time someone came into Falcons that was after you,
Lindsay Theory,
Lindsay Theory,
Raven Dorado,
So you would like people would be like, "What are they doing?" I was like, "You remember Nikki Noto?" Yeah, like it's her old job. Like, oh, okay, like,
she's the Nikki. She's the Nikki.
Literally, no, I'm not kidding. Literally, because it was, and actually, it was just kind of, it's kind of how when people describe something to you, you hear it. Because I'd ask Arch about Lindsay. I was like, what's that Lindsay? There you go. She took Nikki's old job.
Oh, so look.
It just always brought back.
And Lindsay is, I mean, good gosh, she's doing awesome.
Yeah, she is.
Over in L.A., working for ESPN, having two kids now. Like,
living the dream.
She's living the dream. But it was a really cool opportunity. I think everyone was trying to figure out at the same time what to do with that role because it hadn't been done before, right?
Sure.
Loved working with Matt Moore. I mean, there was not a day I wasn't crying laughing at something.
Mookie.
So, Mookie. So it was a great opportunity. And then, CBA happened and they were like, hey, you don't have a job now.
Well, listen, we've got to get this story in just a minute that Nikki told me off air. We're going to do it on the other side of the break. And it is about her making it official with her now husband of 10 years, Michael Palmer. And it involves James Harden.
It's, you know, I've lived a very colorful life.
You don't
life.
Want to miss this story coming up on the other side of the break. And obviously, we'll talk Falcons. We'll talk passing attack. We visited with Darnell Mooney on Saturday night. He told us when he knew that he wanted to be an Atlanta Falcon. Don't miss it. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What are the haps? Start the day the right way with the morning shift.
With Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
All right. All right.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. Mike, Bo, and Nikki Noto Palmer. You still have the Noto in there. You didn't lose the Noto, right?
I still have it.
Is it part of the official name? Is it on the driver's license?
It is. And that's a whole story in itself. Nikki's nowhere in my name on my driver's license.
Yeah.
Nowhere.
We'll talk about that in just a second.
I want to know what. Well, we'll get to it probably in time out, but I want to know what Nikki is short for.
Wait till you hear this.
Nicolette.
Wait till you hear this story about Nikki making it official with her husband. We'll get to that in just a second. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Bo, real quick, no Falcons practice today, but we'll be live back out there tomorrow. Have we heard anything, Bo, about whether or not they'll be in full pads tomorrow?
No, they will. Shows? They will. That's part of...
It's not Wednesday?
It's Tuesday, Tuesday from what I heard, because that's why they have to take a... You know, they have to have days off, but That's the thing is before they go to pads, I think they have to have a day off to start camp. Yeah. There's so many – look, I used to get so frustrated when I would hear people not know things. Like, how do you not know why they're not in this and that?
Yeah.
Because it used to be a lot easier. But the CBA changes
structured.
Every year.
Right.
Or not every year, but every time the CBA changes, they build in something else that changes how training camp used to work. Or how practices, if you're ever at one of these practices, and obviously not this year, or maybe at the bench, and you hear them say, stay up, stay up, stay up! It's because they can't go to the ground, because they go to the ground too many times, then they can get, someone can report, hey, they're having us go to the ground, and then what happens is they get investigated, they lose draft picks, they lose practice time.
Yeah.
So there's so many really weird rules with all of it. But yeah, I'm pretty sure Tuesday they are in pads.
Well, I was going to ask Nikki a question about the Atlanta Falcons, but let's go ahead and hit the timeout.
It's time for a timeout on the morning shift. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Nikki, the question was, you spent obviously a lot of time with your time at the Falcons out at training camp practices.
I did.
And I don't know when's the last time you've been out there, and I'm sure that Michael, your husband, kind of has the same feeling I do. I go out there, and I'm like, man, this looks like you could have played 30 years if you were in football these days in the NFL. Backwards hats, a lot of jog-throughs, a lot of things going on like that. Just doesn't look like the same like it did, I don't know, 14 years ago.
No, but you know what? I remember when Michael and I, so my husband played Falcons with Mike back in the day, and there was this one time Michael borrowed my car, and he went to training camp. And, Mike, I kid you not, I was curious if there was a cadaver in, like, the back of my trunk, left the windows up, everything in the car, and I was like, what happened? And I swear I had to leave my windows down for the next few days. That was rough. That was rough.
I hope you had leather seats.
I did, thank God.
Because...
And some Clorox wipes. Like, it was awful.
Let me tell you something. I remember we were doing a show up there, and I was one of my first training camps, and Coy Wire was playing back then. That's how long ago it was.
Yeah. Coy, man.
Coy comes over right after practice, and as the producer, you would give up your seat and your headset. And, I mean, he's still in
so
full pads. Yeah. Well, I didn't sit in that seat for the rest of the show.
Couldn't. Because he
left a puddle in the seat.
Yeah.
But from the sweat, guys, nothing like that.
Yeah.
And then the headset, I was like, Anybody got a wipe that I can wipe his headsets?
Well, need like four towels.
Luckily, I think Miller Pope was doing that broadcast that day, and Miller Pope never went anywhere with like 30 Gatorade towels. Yeah. I had one, but
Mike, Nikki, I was going to ask you real quick though.
Go ahead.
Because I was asking Michael this last night. When you get a day off at training camp, I mean, that is good as gold.
Oh.
Like, what do you remember doing on that off day? Because it was so rare.
It's funny.
And you're so tired.
I was talking about this. I think there was like two or three times that I'd been like seeing somebody over the summer, you know, and you spend that one day being like, is this worth taking into the season?
You know what I mean?
Like you'd visit that after a week at camp, you go back and visit that female, whoever that was, and you're like, all right, is it still any chemistry there? Am I going to really continue? Are you going to be my camp text? You know what I mean? Just that person that when you have a few minutes, you just shoot a text to.
Your camp text, like you only get one text. It's not prison. You only have time for one phone call.
You only have time for one when you're in training camp. You only have time for one. But obviously, needless to say, my wife and I didn't start dating until after football, so none of those did tend to work out. But I do want to start from the top of you. You're from Oak Mountain, right outside of Birmingham.
That's right.
Oak Mountain High School. Went to the University of Alabama. Roll Tide.
That's what's up.
At what point?
He's just rolling his eyes.
Hey, soak it in, Bo. At what point did you know you would go into some kind of journalism career? Was that like your goal in college, or was that something that just kind of happened?
Y'all are going to think I'm crazy. I was eight. I remember it plain as day. Always loved sports. I was in high school, Oak Mountain. We had a really great, so I graduated at 05 from Oak Mountain.
Same.
We had an awesome broadcasting program.
Really?
Like we had a set. We had prompter. We had, you know, it was Final Cut back then too. Like
the OMN, the Oak Mountain Network.
Yeah, OMHS News, baby.
That's way more than Pawling County High School had in my day.
So it was incredible. Like I was set up for success in high school, and I still remember, like, I would go out to the region's golf tournament.
Sure.
I'm interviewing like Tommy Tuberville, Bo Jackson, like way back in the day.
Yeah.
By the time I got to Alabama, I actually went to College of Charleston my first 2 years, transferred in my junior year.
I don't think I realized that. That's
cool. And by the time I got to Alabama, I worked three jobs. One was with athletics, media relations, communication. I was a student worker in the communication building. So I really didn't have that big of a social life when I was at Alabama because I was just working because I knew what I wanted to do. So with working with, athletics and media relations, I got put in some really cool opportunities. And then sure enough, I went to go work for the Tennessee Titans, media relations intern. And when I was in Nashville, since I worked with my professor so closely and, with all the broadcast stuff, she reached out to me and was like, hey, we've got an ESPN crew coming in to shoot the show with Alabama. Would you be interested? We need someone to show them the lay of the land, understand, the coaches, the players, where to go. Would you be interested? And I was like,
Of course I would. That sounds
great.
Of course I would.
So sure enough, I'm in the Alabama locker room where I don't know who we're interviewing at the time, but it was,
I wish you knew.
I don't know if you were there. You would have been.
I graduated. Yeah, my last year was 2009 season.
Yeah, same.
So, right.
Okay, so you would have been there. So we're, just shooting the talk and talking in the locker room about college football and whatever. Well, fast forward, the same guy that I was talking to ended up being a VP exec at ESPN and hired me the next year. Or 2 years later, and that's how I got on a road trip.
That's really cool.
For the show, and it all started in Tuscaloosa, even though I had already graduated, just because they knew, hey, here's this girl. She knows kind of what's going on. And anyway,
she's extremely talented.
Yeah, take every opportunity.
Talented.
See, that's funny because I realized you were doing that after I already knew you as the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
Because you were with the Falcons for, 3 years maybe?
What was your title with the Falcons? Here's the thing.
I came in, I was technically, I guess, the first Falcons insider, first Falcons reporter. But let me just, preface this with a story. This was the first, do y'all remember when Jen Sturger was with the Jets
and Brett Favre? Of course.
So,
everybody remembers that.
Right. So she was kind of the first team reporter. So then I come in to Flowery Branch, walking on eggshells because this had just happened, the picture incident. And here I am coming in, to what I think is my dream job, had just turned something down with the Braves that I thought really was my dream job. And I'm like, oh my God, what is happening?
Yeah.
So going to the Falcons, and then when they had to redo the CBA,
of course,
I was out of a job.
The lockout.
Right? Yeah. The lockout happened.
Yeah.
So then that's when my said boss, who I met, in the Alabama locker room shooting the show at the ESPN, was like, hey, I think I've got the perfect gig for you, if you can hold out. And I was this sounds great. And that's how that happened.
Well, the funny thing is that every time someone came into Falcons that was after you.
Yeah.
Lindsay
Theory.
Yeah, Lindsay Theory.
Yeah.
Raven Dorado.
Yeah. Yep. So you would, people would be like, what are they doing? I was like, you remember Nikki Noto? Yeah. It's her old job.
She's the Nikki. She's the Nikki.
Literally. Yeah. No, I'm not kidding. Literally. No. Because it was, and actually, it was just kind of, it's kind of how when people describe something to you, you hear it. Because I'd ask Arch about Lindsay. I was like, what's that Lindsay? There you go. She took Nikki's old job. So look, it just always
and Lindsay is. I mean, good gosh, she's doing awesome.
Yeah,
over
she
in
is.
LA, working for ESPN, having two kids now. Like
living the dream.
She's living the dream. But it was a really cool opportunity. I think everyone's trying to figure out at the same time what to do with that role because it hadn't been done before, right?
Sure.
Loved working with Matt Moore. I mean, there was not a day I wasn't crying laughing at something.
Mookie.
So, yep, Mookie. So it was a great opportunity. And then, yeah, CBA happened, and they were like, hey, yeah, you don't have a job now.
Well, listen, we've got to get this story in just a minute that Nikki told me off air. We're going to do it on the other side of the break. And it is about her making it official with her now husband of 10 years, Michael Palmer. And it involves James Harden.
I've lived a very colorful
You don't
life.
Want to miss this story coming up on the other side of the break. Now, obviously, we'll talk Falcons. We'll talk passing attack. We visited with Darnell Mooney on Saturday night. He told us when he knew that he wanted to be an Atlanta Falcon. Don't miss it. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.